the word Easter always meant something bright, colorful, egg-shaped, jelly beans, rabbits, and grass, and so forth, with cute little Walt Disney-type figures, bunnies, and newsreels about the big parade on Fifth Avenue in New York. The name Easter didn't seem to bother us. We just took it for granted. But everyone seemed to figure that it was really mightily important to have some special attention, and being normal people who were inclined to get starry-eyed over the brightly lit candy counter, it probably seemed like a good idea, because we could have all these chocolate bunnies and these chocolate eggs and so forth. But what is Easter? We're a month and a half away basically from Easter. And what does it mean? Where did it come from? Most of you here have heard that, of course, we are not to keep Easter, but do you know why? What are the customs? Where did they originate? And how did they originate? What does the name mean? Have you ever wondered why you believe and practice certain customs that you do, and the world practices different customs? What does Easter have to do with Christ? The desire to follow the crowd exerted had tremendous influence on children. But Easter was not invented by children. Easter did not come from children, nor is it child's play, as we're going to see. Did you ever wonder about some of the strange customs that are associated with Easter and being observed by, quote, Christians, end quote, today? Just what do eggs have to do with Christ and with his resurrection? What do rabbits and eggs have in common? Rabbits most assuredly do not lay eggs, even though millions and millions of little children are taught to assume that they do. They're lied to. And not only are they taught the lie, but they're taught that rabbits lay brightly colored eggs. Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, Easter bonnets. What do they all have to do with the story of Jesus? How does that tie in with his life, his death, and his resurrection? Stop and think for a moment. Can you see any logical connection between the brightly colored eggs, cottontail rabbits, new hats, and the account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Certainly no basis exists in the Bible and for drawing any such conclusion that Easter has anything to do with Jesus. Nor, for that matter, is there any example in the Bible of Christians attending an Easter sunrise service, eating hot cross buns, or putting ashes on their forehead, are observing Lent. Yet Easter is considered one of, if not the most important, holiday for, quote, Christians, end quote. It's supposed to be the high point of the religious year. Why, then, are we unable to find modern Christian tradition revealed and explained in the Bible as the practice of the church that Jesus Christ himself founded? If Easter tradition didn't come from the Bible, where then did it come from? Should we participate in these traditions? Would Jesus participate in those traditions? How about hot cross buns? Why not cold triangle ones? Or why not just plain bread or unleavened bread or whatever? And what is there about Wednesday that led to putting ashes on one's forehead? I've never known anybody that really practiced that during Lent, but I have heard of it and read it. And was it really a, quote, good Friday, end quote? What was so good about it? If Friday was the day, which it was not, but if Friday was the day that Christ was crucified, that he was murdered, then why did he keep insisting, like in Matthew 12 and verse 40, that he was going to be in the grave 3 complete days and 3 complete nights in the tomb? He could not have been if he was crucified on Friday and resurrected early Sunday morning, could he? He said he'd be 3 days and 3 nights. Okay, he was crucified in the afternoon, and right before sunset, he was buried. So we've got then sunset, one night, Friday night, and then to Saturday night, sunset, and then he supposedly rose the first thing Sunday morning. So that's only 2 nights that he was in the grave, if that be the case, which, of course, again, as you know, it was not. But notice Matthew 12 and verse 40. Matthew 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And so Christ himself said that he would be in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Easter comes from pagan festivals. You would be shocked if you read the history of the, quote, hot cross buns, the Easter bunny, the eggs, and the practice of bowing toward the east for a sunrise service. In Germany years ago, the usual riotous German version of Easter was like the Mardi Gras, taking place in Cologne, Germany. People were acting as if they were insane, literally. Drunken revelry was taking place, and they were hiding behind masks and weird costumes, and any idiotic dancing and noise making were everywhere. And this is how Easter was celebrated. Passerbyers were asked what it meant. What did all that mean? Why were people getting drunk? Why were they celebrating? One man said vaguely, "Oh, it's for the children." Another said it had no special meaning. Only one man of several that was interviewed seemed to know and understand the pre-Lentil rioting that accompanied the days of, quote, fasting, end quote, prior to Easter. After all, who needs an excuse for people to party, so forth? Why Easter? On one Sunday morning each spring, a group of people will gather together for a strange and bewildering phenomenon that takes place in the cities and the towns and in the countrysides around the world on the same Sunday. Instead of sleeping in as usual, thousands will get up early on this day, very early, way before daybreak, because they have to be at their location to meet others before sunrise. The occasion? They will meet friends, and of all things, they watch the sunrise. And if this was not strange enough, this is all part of a, quote, religious service that is supposed to represent Jesus Christ being raised from the dead, an Easter sunrise service. But let's consider some of the customs here, some of the, quote, Christian customs that have been adopted from heathenism, Lent and Easter sunrise services. One of the many gods that the pagans had who influenced present-day religion, and that is now called Christian practices, was Tammuz, another name for Nimrod. It was believed that he died and was resurrected, and he was a counterfeit Messiah, and to mourn his death, a period of weeping and intermittent rejoicing would take place, and it was held annually, a kind of lentil season, they called it. From Hyslop's Two Babylons, on page 105, it says, among the pagans, this Lent seemed to have been an indispensable preliminary to the great annual festival in commemoration of the death and resurrection of Tammuz, which was celebrated by the alternative weeping and rejoicing. And that's where Lent came from. There was certainly no instruction in the Bible to observe or keep Lent in any way, nor is there any biblical authority for the practice of attending an Easter sunrise service. The fact the Bible shows just the opposite. On this very same Sunday, another phenomenon will take place, because people will be preparing to darken the door of a church once or twice a year. And usually at Easter time, people go to church on a Sunday morning. And otherwise, they never even go. I say darken the door. Maybe we should say they decorate the door, because they wear their finest. They've got new clothes and new hat and all of this and that. And once Lent, of course, is over, then they go right back to the way that they did live. Some anticipate a family reunion, you know, which is fine. But they participate in a ham dinner and perhaps a fashion show or parade. And the children, oh, they're thrilled. They go out in the yard and they look for these brightly colored eggs, and they have their chocolate rabbits and the prospect of an exciting egg hunt or egg roll, games on the lawn. Why couldn't they just roll an onion as well? It rolls better, it's rounder, or an apple. It's round, so they could roll it instead of, quote, an egg. But what's its purpose? Easter is certainly one of, if not the biggest, holiday in the Western year. What was it supposed to commemorate? And why all of the incongruous activities? Why purchase new clothes for it? Why eat ham for dinner? Why rabbits? Why not a puppy or a kitten? Why did they insist on rabbits? Because a dog can lay just as many eggs as a rabbit can. But then why eggs? Why wouldn't oranges work just as well? They're real round, and you can roll those, and they're colorful. But the world is steeped in tradition and customs that they do not understand, and these customs and traditions seem normal to them. But when you stop and think about it, what real sense do the activities on what we call Easter make anyway? And what does it have to do with Jesus Christ? Why is Easter observed on Sunday? Why not on Tuesday or Thursday or whenever? Well, most people, if you ask them why it's done on Sunday, they would say because it represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he was resurrected on Sunday, and that was the day that he rose, so that is what we are observing and trying to fulfill. But have you ever proven from the Bible when Jesus truly was resurrected, and what had Easter rabbit to do with anything about Christ's resurrection? Where did the Easter Sunday tradition come from? How did it find its way into what we call professing Christianity today and into the church? Why is it observed throughout the entire Western world today? Easter was observed thousands of years before the time of Christ and the beginning of the Christian era. It was not started by the resurrection of Christ. It was observed thousands of years before. Easter is actually a merely slightly changed spelling from the English of the name of an ancient Assyrian goddess, which I normally pronounce Ishtar, and yet it was pronounced by the Babylonians as Easter. It was pronounced by the Assyrians exactly the same way that we pronounce it today, and that was Easter. Alexander Hislop in The Two Babylons says this, that Easter, quote, bears a Chaldean origin on its very forehead. Easter is nothing else than Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven, whose name was pronounced by the people of Nineveh, was evidently identical to that now common use in our country. And that's from page 103. In the Bible, God condemns the worship of Astarte as the Queen of Heaven, as the most abominable of all of the pagan idolatries. In connection with the Easter celebration, God specifically condemns the sunrise service. Notice Ezekiel 8 and verses 13 through 18. Ezekiel 8 and verse 13 through 18. And he said to me, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that they are doing. And so in verse 14, Ezekiel 8, he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house. And to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz, who again was Nimrod. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, and you will see greater abominations than these. And so he brought me, in verse 16, unto the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. They turned their back on God, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. And he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? It is a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here. Or is it a trifle thing? For they have filled the land with violence, and they have returned to provoke me to anger. And indeed they put the branch to their nose. I'm not sure what that means. My computer finally just yielded up the spirit, and I had to send it back to the home office to see if they could replace the hard drive on it. And so my Bible programs that I use I did not have, and I couldn't look this up. But anyway, it says in verse 18, therefore also will act in fury. My eye will not spare now, nor will I have pity. And though they cry to me in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. That's an absolute abomination to worship the rising sun. And God says that that's one of the worst abominations that man commits. And yet, Easter morning, many, many people will get up and they will go out and they will worship toward the rising sun. God also condemns the making of hot cross buns. Jeremiah 7 and verses 8 through 11. Jeremiah 7 and verse 8 through 11. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. And has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. Then skipping down to verse 18, Jeremiah 7 and verse 18. The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead dough. to make cakes for the Queen of Heaven, that they may pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. And do not provoke me to anger. Or do they provoke me to anger, he asked. Says the Lord, do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place, on man and on beast and on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Also in Jeremiah 44 and verses 17 through 23. Jeremiah 44 and verse 17. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of your mouth, your own mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food, and we were well off, and we saw no trouble. But since stopping burning the incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. So they said, we had it good when we were doing all these pagan practices, and once we stopped, and we got this curse from God. The women in verse 19 also said, and we have burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her. Did we make cakes for her, to worship her, to pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? They were independent, and they just went ahead and did it one way or the other. And they made these hot cross buns, these cakes. Verse 20, then Jeremiah spoke to all men, the women, and all who had given him that answer, saying, the incense that you have burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And did it not come to his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolate, an astonishment, a curse, and without inhabitants as to this day. So he said, you're being cursed not because you stopped, but because you did it. Verse 23. Because you have burned incense, and because you have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has happened to you as at this day. And because they did make these hot cross buns to the Queen of Heaven, then they were being cursed. How did the pagan celebration ever become one of the major holidays, quote unquote, and most important holiday of the quote Christian church? Actually, as I'm sure you know, Easter is a counterfeit of the Passover. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, the 11th edition, in an article entitled Easter, it says this: there is no indication of the observance of Easter, of the Easter festival, in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. The first Christians continued to observe the Jewish festivals, though in a new spirit, as commemorative of events which these festivals and foreshadowed, thus the Passover, with a new conception added to it of Christ as the true Paschal Lamb and the first fruits from the dead, continued to be observed. Alexander Hislop again says in The Two Babylons on page 104, the festival of which we read in church history under the name of Easter in the 3rd and 4th centuries at the time was not known by any such name as Easter. It was called Passover. The festival agreed originally with the time of the Jewish Passover when Christ was crucified. That festival was not idolatrous and was preceded by no Lent. So God's Passover pictured Christ's death, as you well know, and that's what we are preparing for and examining ourselves coming up right around the corner. And we contrast that with Easter because it claims to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus, not his death. So when did this clever counterfeit sneak into the professing Christian church? Easter was a pagan festival long before Christianity and the New Testament church ever existed. It anciently commemorated the Friday death and supposedly Sunday resurrection of Nimrod, the false pagan savior, also known as Tammuz. In the great apostasy which swept through the New Testament world in the latter part of the first century, this pagan Good Friday Easter Sunday tradition was falsely applied to the death and the resurrection of the true Savior, Jesus Christ. It was made to appear, quote, Christian, end quote. This teaching became especially popular around Rome. But in Asia Minor, where the Apostle Paul had established churches, the New Testament Passover continued to be observed, and they did not keep Easter, but they observed the Passover on the 14th of Niacin. The Encyclopedia article on Easter goes on and states, generally speaking, the Western churches kept Easter on the first day of the week, while the Eastern churches followed the Jewish rule. Those that had the Apostle Paul teaching them followed the Jewish rule, where Rome went with Easter. This difference soon led to a serious controversy. Generally, the Greeks and Asian churches began to succumb as time went on to the pagan tradition. The article goes on here in Encyclopedia Britannica, and it says, Polycarp, the disciple of John, the evangelist and bishop of Smyrna, visited Rome in 159 A.D. to confer with Antiochus, the bishop of the see, or the Catholic Church, on the subject, and urged tradition that he had received from the apostle of observing the 14th day of Niacin. Antiochus, however, declined. And then it goes on and it says about 40 years later, in 197 AD, the question was discussed in a very different spirit between Victor, the Bishop of Rome, and Polycrates, the Metropolitan of the Proconsul of Asia, which was the territory of the church established by the Apostle Paul. That province was the only portion of, quote, Christendom, end quote, which still adhered to the Jewish usage. Victor demanded that all should adopt the usage that was prevailing at Rome through the Catholic Church. This Polycrates firmly refused to agree to and urged many weighty reasons for the controversy, whereupon Victor proceeded to excommunicate Polycrates and the Christians who continued the Eastern usage. He was, however, restrained from actually proceeding to enforce a decree of excommunication, and the Asiatic churches retained their usage unmolested. We find the Jewish usage from the time to time reasserting itself after this, but it never really prevailed to any large extent. It did, however, crop up every now and then from time to time as an irksome and annoying thing to the Catholic Church. It was an issue that caused division and disunity in the, quote, professing Christian church, end quote. And when the pagan Roman Empire, Constantine, convoked the Council of Nicaea in 325 A.D., he ordered the bishops to settle the matter once and for all. And it was one of the two main issues that was covered by that particular Council of Nicaea in 325. And, of course, they confirm the Roman usage, the Catholic Church. Burns, in his book entitled The Council of Nicaea, on page 46, says the decision of the council was unanimous, that Easter was to be on Sunday, and on the same Sunday throughout the world, and that none hereafter should follow the blindness of the Jews. And of course they had spiritually darkened minds and didn't even know what they were talking about, but they hated anything that was biblical. Anything that God commanded, they labeled it as, quote, Jewish, end quote. The bishops of Nicaea so abhorred anything that they thought to be Jewish, that, as Burns continues to say, that they decided that Easter Day should always be on Sunday, but never at the same time as the Feast of the Jews, the Passover. If the 14th of Niacin, the Passover, fell on Sunday, Easter Day was transferred to the following Sunday, so that they didn't want to have anything to do with those old Jewish things. In a book entitled The Adrian Controversy by Gwotman, on page 38, it says, "For how," explains Constantine, "could we who are Christian possibly keep the same day as those wicked Jews?" And so strong was the anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish feelings of pork and ham, an abomination to the Jews, they deliberately then would eat ham, pork, on every Easter to show their contempt for anything, quote, Jewish. And that's where that tradition came from. The Nicene Council, regarded by the world as one of the greatest achievements and greatest milestones in Christianity, condemned observance of the New Testament Passover without ever bringing up one scripture. Not one passage, not one quote from the Bible, and they decided on Easter instead of the Passover. And as Hyslop says, by violence and bloodshed, as history shows, the observance of the pagan Easter was enforced in its place. Does it matter? Some people will say, well, yeah, I know that Easter had pagan origins, but a lot of things do. And I can plainly see that Christ was not resurrected Sunday morning. But as long as we keep Easter in a Christian manner, a kind of remembrance of Christ's resurrection, does it really make any difference after all? Isn't that fine because we are trying to honor Christ? So isn't that a good thing? Regardless of the significance of the day and various customs associated with it, we're trying to do the right thing by, quote, remembering the resurrection of Christ, aren't we? Well, no. Not the Christ of the Bible, they're not. It doesn't make any difference if there is no Jesus Christ, if he's not alive, if the Bible is not the Word of God, and if God does not exist, then fine, you can do whatever you want to do. You can make up any day or any time or whatever appeals to you. You can come up with any custom that you want to. But God does exist. Jesus Christ is alive at the right hand of God. And so let's call a spade, because we realize the true significance of the symbols that are used. Because since there is a God in Jesus Christ, that he really did walk out of that tomb and he is alive, then it does make a tremendous difference both to Christ and to the Father. There is not a single word in the Bible telling us to observe Easter. But some would say, oh, wait a minute now, that's not true. Wait just a minute. Acts 12 and verse 4, where the only time in the Scripture that the word Easter appears. Acts 12 and verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. This is the only place in the entire Bible where the word Easter appears in the King James Version. The Greek word is Pascha, P-A-S-C-H-A, which means Passover. Every other place where Pascha appears, it is translated as Passover. But one of the translators decided, well, that's not right, so they threw the word Easter in here. But instead of keeping the Passover, God thunders in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2. He says, thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the heathen or the Gentiles, and do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. Any encyclopedia will tell you that Easter is a pagan festival that long antedated Christianity, and there is no secret that any dictionary will basically tell you the same thing. Or an encyclopedia reveals that the word Easter is derived from the name of a pagan goddess. For example, Webster's Collegiate Dictionary shows that the word Easter comes from the name of an old Teutonic goddess of the spring. Notice what an editorial in Christianity Today, which is a very popular, respected magazine in the world, but it says, from Christianity Today admits, quote, the derivation of the word Easter is somewhat uncertain, but it has to do with pagan festivals and seems to have been connected with the Anglo-Saxon spring goddess named Astarte. So for more than 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, the festival to Astarte existed and was celebrated in the spring. It was the season of the budding of new life, the resurrection of nature, so to speak, from the dead of winter, and it was a feast of regeneration. Throughout the inhabited world, in ancient times, the spring festival and various sex rituals were observed in honor of the fact that the sun's welcoming rays were now once again imparting life. The exaltation of fertility played a prominent role in these festivals, and that's where the egg and the rabbit come from into the picture. From Duncan Wagner's Standard Dictionary of Folklore and Mythology and Legend, on page 341, it says, early in history, the egg became a symbol for sex, reproduction, and life. They had represented a resurrection and afterlife and was used to cast a magical spell. And this was centuries before Christ was born. And they had their colored eggs and they were used in religious worship and ceremonies. The hare, the rabbit, being among the most fertile of all animals known, were included in the sex and fertility rites. From a Treasury of American Superstition on page 361, it says the hare represented abundant life in the fertility of the earth because hares were born with eyes open. And I didn't know that, and I'm not sure of that. I had a pet rabbit. I know there's a little variation between a hare and a rabbit, but not much. But I had a little rabbit that my cousin dug up out of the field. He was plowing, and he brought it to me, and it was about this big. And literally, it had its eyes closed, and they were closed for 7 days. But apparently a hare were born with their eyes open, and they were sacred to the open eye moon in Egypt, and thus connected with Easter, as it was a date set by the moon's orbit to this day. The Germans made the hare sacred to the goddess Astarte and said that Easter Eve it would lay eggs for good children. Well, what about the Easter bonnet? What about getting all dustied up and new clothes and the Easter parade and all of these things? Even the Easter parade has suspicious origins. Again, from the Treasury of American Superstition on page 362, it says, to imitate nature, submergence in her own glorious new attire of delicate green in ancient times when Easter was New Year's Day, people cast off their old clothes to start the new year right. Therefore, the custom of wearing a new outfit on Easter is a holdover from this time. The custom of wearing new clothes prevailed also in Northern Europe, as it was considered discourteous and therefore bad luck to greet the Scandinavian goddess of spring, Astarte, with anything but fresh garb, since the goddess was bestowing one on earth. Needless to say, the Easter parade on Fifth Avenue, New York, is one of the most famous survivals of this old custom. There is an old superstition that wearing three new things on Easter assures good luck throughout the year. It is interesting also that in early times the Easter bonnet was a wreath of flowers or leaves. The circle or crown expressed the round sun and its course in the heavens, which brought the return of spring. So yes, Easter, Easter parade, the Easter bonnet, the Easter rabbit, the Easter egg, all of these things, the hot cross buns, have their root in pagan heathen tradition. They have nothing to do with the crucifixion nor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's will regarding religious customs is summed up in one command that we read in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2 earlier. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles, or as the King James says, the way of the heathen, I believe. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, the zodiac and all of this horoscope and all this stuff, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. I hope it has been made clear to you today that we should not in any way observe Easter, that it is the Passover that is sacred to God, that pictures the death of His Son, not even the resurrection, but the death of Jesus Christ.